This is the Fall Fun Drive for WVXU and WMUB. Won't you take just a few minutes right now to make a contribution by making that phone call to 513-419-7155 or by contributing online at WVXU.org or WMUB.org. And this is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. Django Kroner has dedicated his life to trees. When he was 19 years old, he built a treehouse 45 feet off the ground in Red River Gorge and lived in it for 3 years. In 2013, the now 26-year-old started a custom treehouse building and tree care company, and he also released a book this summer called The Perfect Treehouse, From Site Selection to Design and Construction. Django joins us to talk about his book, what inspired him to build treehouses, and his love of everything outdoors. And you can take part in the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Django, good to see you this afternoon. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Tell me about what inspired you to start building tree houses in the first place.
Well, to take it all the way back, I kind of got that feeling of home in trees and comfort in trees when I was a little kid, because my older brothers would always come after me, and it was the only way I could escape their wrath, because I could climb trees better than they could. So I'd just go up there and hang out at the tops of trees until they got bored. And that was the very beginning. And that actually kind of spurred a hobby. And when I was growing up, I'd spend 3-4 hours a day and just climbing trees. And I'd watch videos of orangutans climbing and try to mimic their movement. And I just got really into it. And tree climbing eventually led me into rock climbing, which eventually brought me down to the Red River Gorge, where I built my first treehouse.
So tell me about this first treehouse that you built. How big was this thing? How fancy was it?
It was really simple. It was kind of an open rebellion against gravity. I was apprenticing with a timber frame cabin builder and rock climbing. So I kind of got my rigging skills from climbing and my carpentry skills down. I was living in a tent. And, you know, the Red River Gorge is a really wet, jungly-esque climate. And eventually, it just kind of started to wear on me, all the mold. And the one morning I woke up and there was a copperhead in my shoe. And it was like...
That was all it took, right?
It was like this... That was kind of the last piece of, hey...
I got to get off the ground.
Yeah, exactly. And I was looking up in the trees and, you know, it was wet on the ground. They were all dry and breezy and... I was like, you know, this is perfect. I should build a treehouse. And next thing you know, it was just happening. And it took a long time because it was just inviting friends over after climbing to help me hoist a beam. So it ended up taking like 3 months just to get the platform built. But it was what I really liked about it was between a sycamore and a tulip poplar that straddled a creek. So right underneath the treehouse was consistently flowing water. And, you know, you can just had a little net that I'd keep my drinks in, and I just lower it and have it sit in the creek. And whenever I got thirsty, I'd bring it on up. And that way, that was how I kept everything cold.
Did you design this yourself, Django?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really simple design. It was a 10 by 12 platform that was completely suspended on cables. When you're that high up in the tree, there's a lot of movement in the wind. If you try to bolt directly to the tree, it just tears the treehouse apart. So I suspended everything on half-inch cables. That way, when the wind would come through, the treehouse would just kind of sway back and forth. And it was a little much for some people, but, you know, it definitely grew onto me. And, you know, it's like the lullaby. It definitely kind of rocks you to sleep.
What was it like living in it for 3 years?
It was amazing. It was it's one of those things where, you know, you experience something for a day, one time, and you kind of assume that you got it. But ultimately, it's the day in and day out that really kind of teaches you whatever it is that it has to offer. So, you know, just waking up above the morning fog and, you know, having to rappel to, you know, if you forgot your headlamp or something, just like silly things. And being visited by flying squirrels and owls at night, there's just so many little tiny details that over the course of those 3 years kind of sunk into my skin. And, you know, you see like how the sunlight filters through the leaves differently in the morning and the evening. You really get to know your trees, and they're taking care of you. You know, you're essentially being held by them in their branches day in and day out. And something about that really just was brought a very overwhelming sense of contentment to me.
What were the night sounds like being in a treehouse?
Loud. I mean, down there, the tree frogs alone are, you know, they'll get going and that's all you can hear. And then, you know, all the insects and the running water. I heard some noises that I never thought I would hear. I can pretty much assume or know that they were owls doing whatever kind of mating rituals owls do. But yeah, it was really fascinating because, you know, you can call owls in. So I'd try to participate and get them as close as I could. And, you know, it was lonely, so I was talking to a lot of owls, but it was funny.
What did your family and friends think of this treehouse?
Everybody was pretty impressed with it. I mean, you know, at first it was like, okay, whatever you think, I guess. But it was one of those things where once people came down and saw it, and then it kind of, you know, hit them in reality, it reminded everyone that, you know, why not? Why not? You know, why do you have to live in a ground house? You know, why not just live in something that's totally different or that inspires you? Or and obviously you can take that into a bigger spectrum of what am I doing with my life and should I be living in the trees? And yeah. And I like that about it. I mean, that definitely was something that lasted the longest with me, is just seeing the looks on people's faces the first time they saw it. Because it was high up. It was really simple, but it was, you know, it was high up, and it was a little bit like, do you live up there? Like, why would you want to live up there?
So how many treehouses have you built since then?
We're on our 15th treehouse now.
Okay. Do you have a favorite among all the treehouses you've ever built?
Yeah, we finished a treehouse rental down in the Red River Gorge in the spring called the Observatory. And it's three different treehouses all connected together with the largest set of staircases and ship's ladders imaginable, at least how I feel about it. But it's perched over top of the gorge. So when you wake up, you're looking out over the whole gorge. You're completely above the clouds in the morning, and you've got the sunrise coming over the crest of the mountains. It's just stunning. And it was a challenge to build, too, because we had to get every piece of lumber to the top of the mountain and then, you know, 45 feet up into the trees. So it was a rigging challenge. And I know everyone on the crew that helped out definitely felt that exercised from it.
What about building codes, zoning codes? Do you have to contend with that when you're building a treehouse?
Yeah, so it's all dependent on the area. Kentucky is a lot less regulated in certain areas than others, and also as a state in a whole, it's a little bit less regulated. So depending on the state and the county, you definitely have to abide by codes. But the Red River Gorge is a good place for treehouse building because you can have a little bit more wiggle room, you know, and you don't have neighbors necessarily to, you know, say, hey, this person's now can look down into my second story window.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're thinking about that, that would be a consideration that you should undertake if you're building a treehouse. If you live near people, probably a good idea to talk to your neighbors first, isn't it?
That's my number one piece of advice in the very beginning stages of design, is to go and talk to your neighbors, because ultimately, if they don't like your treehouse, then they're going to be the ones to create an issue for you mm-hmm. when you're trying to build.
They're going to be the ones complaining.
Yeah, yeah.
For someone who's an aspiring treehouse builder, Django, what kind of skill level do you need?
Well, it really depends on the scale of the treehouse you're trying to build. If you want to build something for kids that's kind of low to the ground, something you can reach off of a ladder, then I think that you know, if you've got some basic carpentry skills, that'll do the trick. As soon as you bring in rigging and hanging in a harness on a rope, it really changes things, because, I mean, you can imagine the difference between finding level on the ground versus finding level when you're just hanging in midair. At that point, you know, you have to engage your entire core just to keep your body still enough so you don't bump the level. So it really, you don't think about all of the little tiny details that come into play that make it a challenge when you're up in the air, but that is a big factor. The higher up you go, the more challenging it gets. But I mean, with a little bit of understanding research on tree anatomy and understanding about, you know, your basic set of power tools, you can build a pretty cool treehouse.
So just basic power tools is all you need to do something like this?
Yeah. I mean, I think the most intense tool that you would need really is just a drill powerful enough to drill into certain species of tree. Treehouse building is all about the attachment. That's the number one thing. A foundation is obviously a very important thing with any structure, but this is different because your foundation is a living being. So you have to go into building, keeping the tree, the topmost priority is let's keep this tree healthy and not have the treehouse either hurt the tree or have the tree destroy the treehouse. So the way that you do that is by having, you know, a very specific, intentional approach to attaching to the tree that allows the vascular systems to work just as they should and allows the tree to move just as it should.
So how do you pick the right tree?
Well,
very carefully.
Yeah, I mean, it's fortunately in the Midwest, in Ohio, we're totally blessed with just an insane variety of species. So we do have a lot of good species to work with. The first thing is just find trees that inspire you, because that's what treehouse is all about, is being inspired. You know, you might have three sites that you would love to build in, and then you kind of assess those sites specifically. So you look at the tree species. You know, obviously, if you don't have the background, you have to do some research, but you know, local hardwoods are oftentimes what you're searching for. And then once you find the species, you assess those trees specifically. You know, trees just like a human, what you could have two white oaks, both great treehouse trees. One could have some kind of health issue or be a little bit old in it, you know, later in its stage of life than the other. So, you know, the tree has to be looked at, and I always recommend having an arborist consultation, maybe even two, especially if you're not familiar with that tree type.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. And let's talk with Bonnie in Loveland. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have a question. It's a two-part question. The first question is, what kind of precautions do you have to take to make sure that you don't damage the tree when you are attaching your homes to it? And then the second question is, what kind of, like, wildlife impact do you worry about? Like, I know, like, great horned owls put nests way up in the tops of trees. Do you, you know, what kind of survey do you do before you put up a house to make sure you don't disturb them?
Those are good questions. So with the attachment trees, so trees are two-part, right? There's everything above the ground and everything below the ground. With everything below the ground, we want to think about not compacting the root zone. So not, you know, driving your pickup truck right next to the tree so you can stand on it to build your treehouse. Because all of a sudden, the next year, you've done all this compaction on the root zone that you had no idea you were doing, and you've killed the tree. So they are sensitive underground. The second thing is not constricting the vascular flow of the cambium. The cambium is the outer layer on the trunk, and it's just like a finger. You know, if you tied a string around your finger, it would be a big problem. Your finger would die and fall off. But if you prick it, it continues on, just working fine as a finger. So the goal is to use a type of bolt that we call a TAB, a treehouse attachment bolt. And what that does is it maximizes use of the structural heartwood of the tree, which is essentially dead wood to the tree, and minimizes impact of the cambium where all of the nutrients are flowing through. And as far as the wildlife impact, you know, it's funny because ultimately it's one of those things, like, you build a treehouse that you think you're going to use, and then, you know, you look up underneath it and you've got all sorts of other animals using it with you. So, you know, I think it's kind of a situational dependent, environment dependent. If you're in an urban area, I think most of the time your average tree dwelling animal is going to kind of view that treehouse as an extension of its own home.
Again, 513-419-7100 if you'd like to talk to us. And Matt in Riverside joins us now. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Hello. Go
How's
right
going,
ahead.
Django?
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, so when you were talking earlier about how, you know, living in a treehouse has taught you something and that you really have to experience it, the day-to-day life, in order to kind of get it, it reminded me of one of my favorite books, just like a companion fiction reading to your book. It's called The Baron in the Trees by Italo Calvino. And basically it tells the story of a baron over in Europe who decides one day to climb into the trees and lead a arboreal lifestyle, and he never once comes down. He even does things like helps the Freemasons begin. He interacts with Napoleon and kind of changes the direction of battles. So that just kind of reminded me of that and like the enchantment of living up in the trees. So I just thought it was worthy mentioning.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
And he does all this while he's living in the tree. That's pretty amazing. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate the call. What is it that makes a treehouse such a great project?
Well, there's like a deep flame within all of us that, I mean, every adult knows that feeling of being a kid and that feeling of being an adult and how it's different. And something about treehouses ignites that flame. And it's a really, it's just a lightweight feeling. It just is like just a peaceful, happy feeling. I mean, it's really that simple to me. It's, you know, people see a treehouse and they just laugh like, oh, yeah, that's fantastic. Well, I want to go up and spend the night up there or just play for a little bit. You know, why not? No matter how, everyone can relate to that, you know, childhood play imagination.
Sean in Northern Kentucky had a question. He wonders about the danger from lightning strikes and what happens in high winds. So he's wondering, how do you know your treehouse is going to be able to withstand a heavy storm with winds?
Sure. So, you know, if you were going to build a house and you were deciding on or doing a risk assessment of the design you were wanting to build, you would look at things like surrounding threats from nature, wind loads. If you're, you know, up on a hill, you might consider installing a lightning rod. And then you would also look at what you wanted to build the house out of and what those materials were rated to. So you can do the exact same thing with a tree. For example, I would build in a hickory up on a top of a hill much sooner than I would build in a silver maple, because I know that hickories very rarely blow over in the wind, where silver maples do quite often. So it's just about doing a little bit of research or having the background information or getting help from an arborist to know what kind of material it is that you're working with or about to build in.
Django, once the treehouse is up, how often do you inspect the tree or the structure itself for any problems that might be occurring?
You know, ideally coming out once a year is a great idea. You know, there's in really any tree that you care about, any tree that's on your property that you care about and love, it's a good idea to have them looked at, because especially in an urban area, trees need maintenance and they need attention. They're fighting with us, essentially. You know, they're fighting with your driveway or your dogs or other trees or your house. So, you know, when you put a tree house in a tree, at that point, that tree becomes an investment. And, you know, you want to have the tree inspected. You want to have the tree house inspected. I think once a year is a good kind of baseline frequency for that.
How much does it typically cost to build a tree house?
It definitely depends on the size, how high up, and where you want to build it. I mean, a kid's treehouse usually starts around $5,000 up to maybe $25,000, $30,000. And then the, you know, full-on live-in adult treehouse, you're probably looking at $20,000 to $200,000, $300,000. There are treehouse builders out there now who are definitely raising the stakes and pushing the limits, pushing the envelope of treehouse building. It's
so
a really
how,
fun frontier.
How ornate can a treehouse get?
It can, you can go as ornate as you possibly want. I mean, there are, there's no limits really. I mean, obviously you have to think about factors such as weight and size depending on the tree, but that's what I like about the treehouses we build is size is not really as much of a concern as just quality. And if you have a small house, you can afford to put a lot of effort and craftsmanship into every detail.
So you said you've built 15 so far, Django? Is that
yeah.
right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's your goal? How many would you eventually like to build? Have you ever thought about that?
You know, I haven't really thought about quantity. Sharing
the, more concerned about the quality of the site in the treehouse?
Well, you know, I want to share the canopy experience with a lot of people because I think that it's something that is going to teach people to appreciate nature. No one's ever going to want to protect a forest if they don't spend any time in it. And treehouses, I think, are one of the, in my opinion, the best ways to get people out spending time in trees and just it's a unique perspective on the world. So in terms of quantity, I want people to go out and stay in them. And that's why I started the treehouse rentals in the Red River Gorge, because it's a good way to get a lot of people up in the trees.
Django, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Django Kroner, his book is The Perfect Treehouse, From Site Selection to Design and Construction. And you can find a link to more information at WVXU.org.